Good morning and welcome to our Friday chapel service. It's great to have you here in the Lord's house. I encourage you to turn to page 147 in the front part of your hymn book, page 147, and we will pray together prayer number 4 on page 147. Please join me. Heavenly Father, by your Son, you have revealed to us that heaven and earth shall pass away, that our bodies shall rise again, and that we all shall appear before the judgment seat. We beseech you to keep us in your word by your Holy Spirit. Establish us in the true faith, graciously defend us from sin, and preserve us in all temptations, that our hearts may not be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, but that we may ever watch and pray, and trusting fully in your grace, await with joy the glorious coming of your Son, and at last obtain eternal salvation. Through the same, your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. I invite you to hear the words of our reading for this morning, taken from the letter to the Hebrews, the 11th chapter, beginning with verse 39. And he's speaking here of the great heroes of faith that are mentioned in the previous verses. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. If you ever get a chance to go and see the Twin Cities Marathon up in St. Paul, especially the conclusion to that race, it's really quite a fascinating event. Up to 30,000 runners finally come through the finish line from the various events that are going on. It's been called the most beautiful urban marathon in the United States, rated in the top 10 in the United States. What's interesting is at the end of that race, when you watch people come through and finish, and then they go off and have a drink of Gatorade and maybe eat a banana or something, but many of the runners who've already finished come back. And they line the streets, the last quarter mile that comes down from the cathedral down to the state capitol. And it's just packed with tens of thousands of people. And they're cheering on the racers. And quite often you'll see the kind of the next batch of racers that are coming through, that many of them are walking and out of breath. Some of them are even bending over. I've even seen people sit down. And you'll see these racers that have already finished coming alongside of them and cheering them. Get up, come on, you can do it, finish it out. You're almost there, just yards away. The writer of Hebrews uses the imagery of a race for us to teach us something about our Christian faith. He uses the picture of going through this life with your Christian faith, trusting in Christ as your Savior, the one who went to the cross to pay for all of your sins, so that you could have the beautiful home in heaven that he's prepared for us, that as we now are going on to that beautiful finish line of heaven, we are in this race and we're striving. And he's talking about, he says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, as we head toward that beautiful goal of life everlasting. But the trouble is, this race of staying in our faith is very grueling. It's very difficult, just like on many of those marathon runners. It can wear you down, and sometimes we can face some tremendous obstacles that we have to endure on our way to finally get to heaven. In the words right before our text, the author of Hebrews has been listing off a lot of the different difficulties that certain Christians have had to endure while they're in this race of faith. We had that text preached on just a few weeks ago, and all the different things he points out about persecution that Christians had to go through, and sometimes martyrdom, some of the great sacrifices that previous believers have had to make. It's really quite a list. But just like the front runners who get through the race in the marathon and then come back to cheer on the next group, that's what our text is talking about. That those who have already gone on ahead of us have died in the faith, even though in this life they didn't yet receive that goal of heaven in this life, but once they leave this life, they now are enjoying that beautiful home of heaven. And our writer is saying to us that they are kind of cheering us on. They are like a great cloud of witnesses, he says, that are watching and waiting for the next batch of believers to arrive in the shores of heaven with great anticipation and excitement. I heard somebody preaching on this text use an illustration once. It's almost like soldiers who are in a very dangerous battle zone, and they have to get from one building to another, and the other building they're trying to get to is very safe, and everything there is well preserved and taken care of. But the trip from here to there across the street is a battle zone, and there are bullets and bombs going off. And some of the soldiers have safely now made it through to the other side, and they're in a safe place. And they're looking back, cheering on the other fellow soldiers who are coming through the danger zone. encouraging them and waiting for them to finally arrive in the same safe spot that they now enjoy. And they're urging them on by saying, it's well worth it. It's worth your life. It's worth it over here to make it through that difficult area in order to come to this safe zone. And that's how the believers in heaven look at us who are still fighting the fight of faith, who are still running this race and dealing with the difficulties of the endurance and the problems and the obstacles that we face as Christians in this life. In many of the churches in Northern Africa years ago, they used to read, of course, the epistle lessons like we do and the gospel lessons in their church services. But many of them would also include stories of martyrs from maybe 100 or 200 years earlier, many of whom had lost their lives. And they would read their life stories as a way to encourage others in their faith as well. Many of those churches in North Africa also did something I've always loved. They have, after you would take communion, they would have a little table on the side with a pitcher full of milk and honey to remind you of the promised land where you were heading as a believer, to the home of milk and honey of heaven. When we hear of the persecution of fellow Christians in our day and age today in other parts of the world and what they are going through in order to hold on to their faith in Christ, it should spur us on. It should encourage us in our Christian faith as well. Let that motivate us, knowing that they have now, those who have given their life for the faith, have now reached that beautiful home above. And so with this in mind, the author is telling us to pay attention to how you're running in this race. Pay attention to the things that are going on in your life that might trip you up. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. The fastest man in the world right now, Usain Bolt, has made sure to have his uniform in which he runs in the Olympics, and he's won numerous gold medals. He makes sure to have his uniform as streamlined as possible, even making sure that the type of material that's used on his body is one that won't in any way cause a draft and slow him down. Picks out his shoes with impeccability, has them designed specifically for him to make sure that if he's going to run in this race, he is going to have the best possible chance of making it. And so for us with our spiritual lives, let's look at our lives. Let's each one of us analyze ourselves. Is there any weight and burden that I'm carrying with me in my life that's slowing me down for Christ, that's keeping me away from my love of my Savior? Is there any particular sin that I'm caught up in right now that I have fallen in love with that's actually tripping me and entangling me and might prevent me even from crossing that finish line? Is there something in my life and heart of which I need to ask God's forgiveness and come back to what happened on the cross through God's word and hear of His grace and compassion for me? There was a pastor years ago in the 1800s named Walther who said this: Christ is the commander-in-chief, and each little Bible passage is like a horn, like a trumpet, calling the Christian to battle. And so the members of the church triumphant who are already celebrating in heaven are waiting in anticipation for us, the members of the church militant who are still in this race and fight, to arrive. And just imagine the cheers that will explode in heaven when we finally cross that line. Be faithful unto death, your Savior says, and I will give you the crown of life. Amen.